हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो चैतन्य चरमीरा चैप्टर मध्य लीला चैप्टर 22 द प्रोसेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस पेज 49 श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर कमेंट्स ऑन दिस वर्स। Externally, a devotee performs all the items of devotional service in nine different ways, beginning with Shravana and Kirtana. And within his mind, he always thinks of his eternal relationship with Krishna and follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. When he engages himself in the service of Radha and Krishna in this way, he can transcend the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and, through his spiritual master, fully engage in rendering spontaneous love to Krishna. In this way, he attains affection at the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna actually comes under the control of such spontaneous feelings, and ultimately one can attain association with the Lord. Right? So first is that you're fully absorbed in the Lord like that, that catches the Lord's attention. And then by being in that position and getting the association of the Lord's associates, then one can then come directly into the association of the Lord. So the point is that one's rendering the service, but one's remembering that he's performing this service under the spiritual master, following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and that mood of full surrender. And that way, then he can nicely move forward. Right? Yes. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 13. There are two characteristics by which seeds of love of Godhead can develop, and these are known as rati, or attachment, and bhava, the condition immediately preceding love of Godhead. It is by such attachment and bhava that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is conquered by his devotees. These two characteristics are present before any symptoms of love of Godhead are manifest, right? So this position of rati, then that will be first, that rati and bhava. That bhava means that one's experiencing transcendental ecstasy because of absorption in the Lord. Rati means that attachment to the Lord. So we see is that there's a taste already there, then it develops attachment, then that moves into the platform of bhava. So that rati then develops more and more until it comes to the point where then one is attracting Krishna's attention and one is able to get Krishna's association. Yeah. 2:22, 166 to 169. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, "That by which one can attain loving service to the Lord, I have described in detail as the execution of devotional service called Abhideya. My dear Sanatana, I have briefly described the process of devotional service and practice, which is the means for attaining love of Krishna. It cannot be described broadly." End quote. Whoever hears the description of the process of practical devotional service very soon attains shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in love and affection. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. A human being's activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. Right. So that's the center of it. So many activities may be there, but the center always has to be the devotional service to Krishna. So you're performing an activity. It has its mechanics. It has its tactical operational aspects. But the actual goal, the strategy there is that it's about service to Krishna, pleasing Krishna. That has to always remain. Devotional service to, so that's from text 5. Devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, but all are dependent on bhakti. Text 17. Speculative knowledge alone without devotional service is not able to give liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge, one can attain a liberation if one engages in the Lord's devotional service. Text 21. Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness. Liberation or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord, or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. Text 35. The living entity is bound around the neck by the chain of Maya because he has forgotten that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. If the conditioned soul engages in the service of the Lord and simultaneously carries out the orders of the spiritual master and serves him, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and become eligible for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Text 24 and 25. Krishna is compared to sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the material energy, will immediately vanquish. Text 31. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Text 113, Padma Purana. A human being's activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. And all saintly people have firmly concluded this. Right? So the jiva's identity is servant of Krishna. Then if he puts his attention on Krishna, that removes all Maya. That removing Maya, he engages in devotional service. And by that engaging in devotional service, then more and more he understands his actual position and the position of Krishna and his relationship with him. So then he comes to the point of always being absorbed in Krishna and never forgetting. Right. Is that good? Okay. Then that brings us to the next chapter. Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead. Pratigya. Beyond the Chaturvarga is the fifth and ultimate goal. It is beyond the platform of liberation and is called Krishna Premadana, the treasure of love of Krishna. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of the 23rd chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. In this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the symptoms of emotion and love in the awakening of one's original loving relationship with the Lord, as well as the characteristics of a devotee who has actually attained that stage. He then describes a gradual increase of love of Godhead up to the point of Mahabhava. He then describes the five divisions of attraction and how they continue. He also describes the mellow derived from conjugal love, which is the supreme emotion. Conjugal love is divided into two categories, swakīya and parakīya. Swakīya refers to loving affairs between husband and wife. And parakīya refers to loving affairs between two lovers. There are a number of descriptions in this connection. There is also a description of the 64 transcendental qualities of Krishna and the 25 transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then describes those candidates who are eligible to taste the mellows of devotional service. The fundamental natures and the varieties are also described. The Lord also informs Sanatana Goswami about all the confidential paraphernalia of devotional service. He gives a description of Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord is engaged in his eternal pastimes described in the Hari Vamsa. There's also an imposing description and favorable description of Kesha Avatar. All these instructions are mentioned herein. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatana Goswami, placing his hand on his head. Thus, Sanatana Goswami received the power to describe these subjects in books like Hari Bhakti Vilas. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. verses 1 to 65, awakening one's original loving relationship with the Lord. 66 to 93, the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. 94 to 101, how the transcendental mellows appear and are realized. 102 to 127, the Lord gives personal instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Verses 1 to 65, awakening one's original loving relationship with the Lord. The most munificent Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Gaura Krishna, distributed to everyone, even the lowest of men, his own confidential treasury in the form of the nectar of love of himself and the holy name. This was never given to the people at any time before. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, now hear, O Sanatana, about the result of devotional service, which is love of Godhead, life's ultimate goal, prayojana. One who hears this description will be enlightened in the transcendental mellows of devotional service. When affection for Krishna becomes deeper, one attains love of Godhead in devotional service. Such a person is called Stai Bhava, permanent enjoyment of the mellows of devotional service to Krishna. Quote, when devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a sun ray of love for Krishna. At such time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and one is then situated in bhava, emotion. Footnote 16. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 131. Bhava, emotion, has two different symptoms, constitutional swarup and marginal tatasta. Now, my dear Sanatana, here, listen to the symptoms of love. Srila Prabhupada, the word shuddha-sattva viseshatma means situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. In this way, the soul is purified of all material contamination, and this position is called swarup lakshana, the constitutional symptom of bhava, emotion. By various tastes, one's heart is softened. There's awakening of one's loving propensity to render spontaneous service to the Lord. This is called tatasta lakshana, the marginal symptom of bhava. So the first one will be that he is always, situated on that transcendental position, right? So that's the sarup lakshana. And then the propensity to render various kinds of service, that's the tatasta lakshana, right? Because sarup means it's always present, and tatasta means sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It's an inherent quality, but the different ones will be manifest. So that means is that when you have that emotion towards Krishna, then the anubhava is that you want to perform some activity to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. So those activities, those are tatasta, because those may adjust which one you're doing at the time. Like Mother Jashoda may be waking up Krishna. She may be bathing him. She may be cooking for him, feeding him, discussing with him about going out to the pasturing grounds, giving him a bath in the evening, all these variety of things she may be doing. So that's tatasta, because they keep moving. But that constant situation on the transcendental platform, and that constant affection for Krishna, that is swarup. That's always there. Does that make sense? Just like, 2:23:7-13. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when that bhava softens the heart completely, there's some other words, that becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness, in relation to the Lord, and becomes very much condensed and intensified, it's called prema, love of Godhead, by learned scholars. So that same thing, that same aspect where the Rati is there, that Bhava is there, when that becomes the heart, you know, because eventually when the heart is softened, it awakens the loving propensity to render spontaneous service. Right? So when it's completely softened, and there's a great feeling of possessiveness, that connection with the Lord, that you just want to serve him, that you feel that connection with the Lord. And it's not that, you know, sometimes it's there or not. It means it's exclusive. And it becomes condensed and intensified, right? Condensed is already, and then intensified, the potency of it. That's called prema, right? When one develops an unflinching sense of ownership or possessiveness in relation to Lord Vishnu, or in other words, when one thinks Lord Vishnu and no one else to be the only object of love, such an awakening is called bhakti, devotion, by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. Footnote 61. These verses are found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.1.2, the second of which is quoted from the Narada Pancharatra. Right, so that possessive means that Krishna is the only object of love. So that intensity, that fullness, that then will develop into prema. So we see is that if by good fortune a living entity develops faith in Krishna, Shraddha, begins to associate with devotees, sadhusanga, then one is encouraged in devotional service by the association of devotees. Or when one is encouraged, one becomes free from all unwanted contamination, anartha priti. Right, so when you're encouraged in devotional service, means you take up bhajana kriya. By following the regulative principles, bhajana kriya, and chanting and hearing. Right, when one is freed from all unwanted contamination, he advances with firm faith, nishta. When firm faith and devotional service awakens, a taste, ruchi, for hearing and chanting also awakens. After taste is awakened, a deep attachment, asakti, arises, and from that attachment, the seed of love for Krishna grows in the heart. When that ecstatic emotional stage, bhava, intensified, it is called love of Godhead, prema. Such love is life's ultimate goal and the reservoir of all pleasure. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this growth of love of Godhead as a gradual process. A person becomes interested in devotional service by some good fortune. Eventually, he becomes interested in pure devotional service without material contamination. At that point, a person wants to associate with devotees. So that means he's interested in pure devotional service without contamination. And so then if you cultivate nicely, that continues, that develops. But in anartha nivriti, of course, one has to give up anything that's opposed to that kind of development like that. At that point, a person wants to associate with devotees. As a result of this association, he becomes more and more interested in discharging devotional service and hearing and chanting. The more one is interested in hearing and chanting, the more he is purified of material contamination. Liberation from material contamination is called anartha nivriti, indicating a diminishing of all unwanted things. This is the test of development in devotional service. One actually develops the devotional attitude. He must be free from the material contamination of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. These are the preliminary symptoms. When one is freed from all material contamination, his firm faith in devotional service awakens. When firm faith develops, a taste arises, and by that taste, one becomes attached to devotional service. When this attachment intensifies, the seed of love of Krishna fructifies. So seed of love of Godhead is bhava, right? Because that's the first stage within it. So this position is called priti or rati, affection or bhava, emotion. When rati intensifies, it is called love of Godhead. This love of Godhead is actually life's highest perfection and the reservoir of all pleasure. So before that, you see a portion of this is extending. And then when that comes close, then it turns into, it comes to this point of it that attachment, taste and attachment intensifies, it comes to this seed of love of Godhead. Thus, devotional life is divided into two stages, sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. Sadhana bhakti refers to the development of devotional service through the regulative principles. The basic principle for the execution of devotional service is faith. Above that, there is association with devotees. And after that, there is initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. After initiation, when one follows the regulated principles of devotional service, one becomes freed from all unwanted things. In this way, he becomes firmly fixed and gradually develops a taste for devotional service. The more the taste grows, the more one desires to render service to Krishna. In this way, one becomes attached to a particular mellow in the Lord's service, Shantadasya Sakya Vatsalya or Madhura. As a result of such attachment, bhava develops. Bhava bhakti is the platform of purified goodness. By such purified goodness, one's heart melts in devotional service. Right? So that's why I mentioned before, it gave that term. Bhava is the platform of purified goodness. That's Vishuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma, situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. So that's the actual platform that one comes to. Right? So that means crossing beyond just being outside the universe, not being controlled by the modes of nature because they haven't manifest yet, but still being under within the Linga Sharir. One has to get beyond that, right? Yeah, yes. So this pure, pure platform, purified goodness, this is then in connection with the personal feature of the Lord, right? That's the platform you're on, but within that platform, you're going to render service to the Lord. It's not that you're just appreciating that platform, but you're actually engaging in service. By such purified goodness, one's heart melts in devotional service. Bhava bhakti is the first seed of love of Godhead. This emotional stage is therefore before one attains pure love. When that emotional stage intensified, it is called prema bhakti, or transcendental love of Godhead. This gradual process is also described in the following two verses, which are found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 4, 15, and 16. Right, so this process, this is what's there. So just because there's things above, that doesn't, it means one wants those things. That's very good. As we mentioned before, Lord Chaitanya said, you have to have that desire to want to advance, to come to those advanced platforms. But it doesn't mean just because you want, you're on the platform. Like the guy wants to be a millionaire. Does that mean because he wants, he's right now, he can just go out and buy anything he wants? No. So we see is that that becomes the drive for then working to get to that platform. So that's why it says it's a gradual process, but it doesn't mean that that drive of wanting to advance, to wanting to come move forward, wanting to develop that attraction or attachment for Krishna isn't there. 2:23, 14 through 22. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. In the beginning, there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotions intensify, and finally, there's an awakening of love. This is a gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. End quote. So those were the ones in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The spiritually powerful. Okay, then the next quote. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees. And it is greatly pleasing to hear that association. Society of devotees means that devotees who have accepted the instructions of the spiritual master and are applying that in their life, when they associate together because they have that common ground, you know, common understanding, common practice, common goals, that's a society. And it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. right? The spiritually powerful message of Godhead. One hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. 62. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:25, spoken by Lord Kapila. So the same process is mentioned. Just he says, discussed in the society of devotees. He hears. So then that means he has that faith, he's hearing, he's, taken initiation, he's practicing, he's removing the unwanted things, he becomes steady in that. Therefore, then there's an interest. That develops into the taste, right? Greatly pleasing. And then it develops, through faith, attraction, and devotion. So we see is that this process is mentioned everywhere, but Lord Chaitanya very nicely delineates it exactly. And then it becomes very clear and obvious for us. Otherwise, we might just think, yeah, there are different things we're talking about, but not understanding, no, there's a process, there's an explanation. If one actually has the seed of transcendental emotion in his heart, the symptoms will be visible in his activities. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Quote, when the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. Forgiveness, concern that time should not be wasted. Detachment, absence of false prestige. Hope, eagerness, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And affection for those places where the Lord resides. That is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are all called anubhava, right? So that's where the point comes, is a temple is also this holy place, right? Place where the Lord resides. The Lord's residing in the temple. He's also in the holy places like Vrindavan. So the one's attracted to be in those places because the Lord is there. These are all called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion, because you want to do these things. You want to, so these moods manifest. They are visible in a person whose heart, the seed of love of Godhead, has begun to fructify. Footnote 63. These 2 verses are found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:3:25 and 26. So are these coming right after the other ones, or that's a different place? That was 1:4. This is 1:3. If love for Krishna in a seedling state has fructified in one's heart, one is not agitated by material things. Quote, O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahman created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Footnote 64. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19:15, spoken by Maharaj Parikit. Not a moment should be lost. Every moment should be utilized for Krishna or connected with him. Right? So these are there, that forgiveness. We see here is a point of bhava. Manu mentions it as the foremost quality of the Brahmins. Right? It means you have the 9 qualities that are mentioned in the Gita and all that, but this forgiveness aspect, then we see is that it becomes very prominent because the Brahmins forgive. The Vaishnavas forgive. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, though he's a Kshatriya, you see, because he's on this transcendental platform, then even though so much nonsense has happened between the cousins, Yudhishthira is willing to forgive all that. If they'll just forget all that, if they'll just give him the kingdom back so he can perform his duties. He doesn't have to be the emperor of the world. He just wants his kingdom. Because as a Kshatriya, it has to do its duties. So we see is that this forgiveness, comes up. And then probably concern that time should not be wasted. Detachment, you have no attachment from material energy, therefore nothing disturbs you. Absence of false prestige, there's nothing to gain on the material platform. So even if one does very nice things, you're doing that as service to Krishna, not as a way to get recognition. Hope. You know, so you know that Krishna will be kind upon you. You just follow this process. The acharyas have given it. Great personalities have before gone ahead and done all these things. They've gotten great benefit. So you have that hope, eagerness, because one's very enthusiastic for coming to this position, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord, right? You want like attachment to description of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So the name, the qualities, and affection for the places. Like that. So you're hearing about the qualities of the Lord, means the pastimes, and then the place, the dham. So these are natural symptoms. Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pariksit's expression of anxiety is explained in this verse. He says, quote, "Let whatever is this destined to happen take place. It doesn't matter. Just let me see that not a moment of my time is wasted without a relationship with Krishna." End quote. One has to tolerate all obstacles on the path of Krishna consciousness. And one has to see that not a moment of his life is wasted outside of Krishna's service. 223:23-25. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "With their words, they offer prayers to the Lord. With their minds, they always remember the Lord. With their bodies, they offer obeisances to the Lord. Despite all these activities, they are still not satisfied. This is the nature of pure devotees. Shedding tears from their eyes, they dedicate their whole lives to the Lord's service." Footnote 65. This verse from the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.29. In the material field, people are interested in material enjoyment, mystic power, and sense gratification. But these things do not appeal to the devotee at all. King Bharata was very eager to attain the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is called Uttama Shloka, because poems and prayers are offered to him for his favor. Uttama Shloka. In his youth, King Bharata gave up his attractive wife and children, as well as his beloved friends and opulent kingdom, just as one gives up stool after passing it. Srila Prabhupada, these are the signs of virakti, detachment, found in a person who has developed bhava, the preliminary stage of love of Godhead. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 5:14:46-45. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Although a pure devotee's standard is above all, he still considers himself to be in the lowest stages of life. Quote, Bharat Maharaj always carried affection for Krishna within his heart. Although Bharat Maharaj was the crown jewel of kings, he was still wandering about and begging alms in the city of his enemies. He was even offering respects to chandalas, low-class men who eat dogs." Footnote 66. This is a quotation from the Padma Purana. "A fully surrendered devotee always hopes that Lord Krishna will be kind to him. This hope is very firm in him. Oh, my Lord, I do not have any love for you, nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing, nor do I possess the mystic power of the Vaishnava, of a Vaishnava, knowledge or pious activities. Nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything. Still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain." 67. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.35. This eagerness is chiefly, right, he's going through all these symptoms of bhava and giving examples of them. As mentioned here, it doesn't say what number there are, but he's going through them one by one here. So now eagerness. This eagerness is chiefly characterized by an ardent desire to associate with the Lord. Quote, "O Krishna, O flute player, the sweetness of your early age is wonderful within these three worlds. You know my unsteadiness and I know yours. No one else knows about this. I want to see your beautiful, attractive face somewhere in a solitary place. But how can this be accomplished?" 68. This is a verse from the Krishna Karin Amrita 32. It's not 68. Due to having a great relish for the holy name, one is inclined to chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. O Govinda, this youthful girl named Radhika is today constantly pouring forth tears like nectar falling from flowers as she sings your holy names in a sweet voice. 69. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.38. At this stage of bhava, a devotee has awakened the tendency to chant and describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He has attachment for the process. Right? So the process of devotional service, he has attachment for that because that's how you render service to Krishna. You want to do service. You see Krishna and all that in the vibhava aspect. Then anubhava is you want to render service. You want to do something. And so all these different wonderful qualities and emotions and desires to render service, all that comes up within the heart of the devotee because of his attraction for Krishna. Quote, O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. Footnote 70. This is a verse quoted from Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karinamrita. 92. A devotee absorbed in ecstatic emotion for Krishna always resides in a place where Krishna's pastimes were performed. O Lord Pundarikaksha, while chanting your holy name with tears in my eyes, when shall I dance in ecstasy on the bank of the Jamuna? Footnote 71. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.156. These are the symptoms of a person who has developed attraction, bhava, for Krishna. Now let me describe the symptoms of a person who is actually elevated to love of Krishna. Oh, Sanatana, please hear this from me. So that was bhava. We see how nice and absorbed they are and how nothing else is important. Like we see Bharat Maharaj having given up everything. Then he's wandering even, you know, wherever he wants, even the kingdom of his enemies and begging there, and he's not worried about anything because he's just absorbed in the Lord. Quote, oh, even the most learned man cannot understand the words, activities, and symptoms of a person situated in love of Godhead. Quote, even a most learned scholar cannot understand the activities and symptoms of an exalted personality and whose heart love of Godhead has awakened. Footnote 72. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.17. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, sometimes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. 73. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.40. Love of Godhead increases and is manifested as affection, sneha, counter-love, mana, indignation due to affection. Love, pranaya, attachment, raga, sub-attachment, anuraga, ecstasy, bhava, and sublime ecstasy, mahabhava. This development is compared to sugarcane seeds, sugarcane plants, sugarcane juice, molasses, crude sugar, refined sugar, sugar candy, and rock candy. One should understand that just as the taste of sugar increases as it is gradually purified, so when love of Godhead increases from rati, which is compared to the beginning seed, its taste increases. According to the candidate possessing these transcendental qualities, sneha, mana, and so on, there are five transcendental mellows: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, rati, attraction, is thus described. Vyaktam mas ri ni te vantar lakshyate rati lakshanam. Mumukshu prabritinam ched bhavet esha ritir nahi. Kintu bala chamatkara kari tach chinna vikshaya abhigena Subodhayam Ratyabhasa Ratyabhasa Prakirtitaha. The real symptoms of the fructification of the seed of love, Rati, are manifested because the heart is melted. When such symptoms are found among spectators and fruitive actors, they cannot be accepted as real symptoms of attachment. Foolish people without knowledge of devotional service praise such symptoms of attachment, even where they are based on something other than a desire to serve Krishna. However, one who is expert in devotional service calls such symptoms ratyabhasa, a mere glimpse of attachment. That means the principle is that Krishna being everything, then the rasa in everything is actually coming from him, because he's embracing everything as connected to him, that he possesses everything as his possession. And therefore, the rasa that he being rasa, therefore there's a touch of rasa in all things. So when that rasa is directed towards the personality of Godhead, that's actual rati or attraction. But when it's directed towards his material energy and the taste gained from that, then that's just ratyabhasa. It's just a glimpse of attachment. It's not real, because it'll just be just a little glimpse. It's not the real thing. Because the real is like an ocean. So this is just, you know, something that's there. 2346. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes.
So we can see that when we were studying Lalita Madhava, that every symptoms is presented in the drama, like we see here.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like the perfect how can I say example? Yes, all the philosophy that we are discussing now.
Running out.
But
so this is a problem. Like this. Okay, current has come back on, but it will take time for the Wi-Fi to work. Or can you hear already?
Yes, yes, now we can hear you.
Okay, very good.
Very quick.
Yeah, either that or we switched over to the phone. I'm not sure. Okay, sorry, you were saying.
So I was saying that we have seen in Lalita Madhava, you know, the different symptoms of Baba and Prema, that the different personalities are exhibited. And this exactly is like in, it is a practical application of what we are studying now.
Yes, yes. Particular aspects of the Chaitanya Upanayam naturally fall into this study here. While you find most of the others, then they will all be down in the beginning aspect.
Yes. Your voice is little not clear, Maharaj.
Zoom, Airtel, we're back on that. Oh, you've gotten small again.
Yes, so now it's okay, perfect match.
Okay, so now it's come back. Means these aspects are ways is a nice way to present the flow of emotions and all that, since it's supposed to raise the consciousness. It's about, you know, bringing one towards the Lord. And then naturally the attraction by the various elements that are there how they are in the context of serving the Lord. So all that becomes very, very nice. So the expression there, that's actually what these things are for, what poetry is for, what the, you know, the poetry, the drama, the music, it's all for the purpose of bringing us closer to Krishna. It doesn't have another purpose. It means we might use it for other ways or other purposes, but that's not actually what it's for. It's actually meant for this, right? But we see on the material platform, then people like to use it for their own purposes, their own material taste and attraction for mundane poetry and all. And so therefore then, you know, the different aspects work out of, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But now it seems that the same principle applies to what we are reading. It is here to help us to elevate our consciousness.
Yes, yes. It's the same point. So prose then will do that. Poetry will do that. You know, whatever is done there. So that's why all these naturally mix together very well, right? And you are then seeing the practical application of how people are performing these activities. So then in that position, then we become inspired to also follow in the footsteps of such persons.
Yes.
You know, that's the idea. But means follow in the footsteps means, as it mentioned before, is that we have to look at, you know, what it says from the Shraddha to Prema. It is talking about this. Where are we? And therefore yes. Focused and see yes. That we do nicely. Not that, oh, well, the ultimate goal is Prema. So therefore I'll act on that platform. But where are the symptoms? It mentions that the yes. Symptoms will be manifest. Are they forgiving? You know, are they always absorbed in Krishna? Are they not wasting any time? Right. Yes. You know, all these different aspects are there. So it's not just that one, you know, manifests these things. Otherwise, it's just Ratya Bas. You know, they kind of show some things and like that now and again. But this is something that's constant.
Yes.
Like that. Is that right? Yep. Okay. 2:23:46. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. These five transcendental mellows exist permanently. The devotee may be attached to one of these mellows, and thus he becomes happy. Krishna also becomes inclined towards such a devotee and comes under his control. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 251, Stai Bhava, permanent ecstasy, is thus described. Avirudham virudhamscha bhavan yo vasatam nayan su rajeva virajeta stastai bhava uchate stai bhavo trasa proktas shri krishna vishaya ratihi. These moods, bhavas, bring under control the favorable ecstasies such as laughing and unfavorable ecstasies such as anger. When these moods continue to remain as kings, they are called stai bhava, or permanent ecstasies. Continuous ecstatic love for Krishna is called permanent ecstasy. 2:23:47. So that's the thing, is that that permanent ecstasy, it's always there. It doesn't come and go. So it's not that one time then you're into that and then another time you're not. No, it's constant. That's stai bhava. So if things come and go, means we're not on that platform, right? And so then we have to see what platform we're on. And then, because of appreciating what platform we're on, then we can move forward from that platform. Because if you don't know where you are, how do you move forward? You know, and we say, okay, let's go to the temple. If you don't know where you are, you don't know how to start to get to the temple, right? If you think you're downstairs at the foyer in front of the door, and you start to walk out the door, but you find that that door is actually the door to the bathroom, it may be hard to get to the temple. So you have to know where you are, right? that. It's not a matter of sentiment, right? You're cultivating the sentiment towards Krishna, but the sentiment is real attraction and attachment. 2.23.47, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the permanent ecstasies, neutrality, servitorship, and so on, are mixed with other ingredients, devotional service and love of Godhead is transformed and becomes composed of transcendental mellows. Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.1.4-5, the following definition is given. Atas yas keshava rater lakshitaya nigadyate samagri pariposhena parama rasa rupata vibhaver anubhavaischa satvikair vyabhichari bihi svadhyatvam hridi bhaktanam anita shravanadi bihi esha krishna ratistai bhavo bhakti raso bhavet. Love for Krishna, Keshava, as previously described, reaches the supreme state of being composed of mellows when its ingredients are fulfilled by means of vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, and vyavichari. Hearing and chanting are activated, and the devotee is able to taste love for Krishna. When attachment for Krishna or permanent ecstasies, dai bhava, becomes then attachment for Krishna, the permanent ecstasies, dai bhava, becomes the mellow of devotional service, bhakti rasa. So when you have that, then and then the rati is there, and that becomes mixed with these other four aspects, then it comes to that point of stai bhava, that's bhakti rasa. That becomes then the devotional service. Just being absorbed in that rasa, you're always there, because as we said, when vibhava is there, then you want to perform some activities to express that love that is awakened in Krishna that comes up from the vibhava, right? You know, so from that, then you want to do these activities. So that's going to be your mellow of devotion, your devotional service, the bhakti rasa, and the taste that comes from that. So you're going to be situated in that platform, and that's going to be a stable and steady position. Is that, yeah? 2.23.48-51. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Permanent ecstasy becomes a more and more relishable transcendental mellow through the mixture of special ecstasy, vibhava, subordinate ecstasy, anubhava, natural ecstasy, sattvika, and transitory ecstasy, vyabhichari. Yogurt mixed with sugar candy, black pepper, and camphor is very palatable, right? Because these are all quite different flavors, right? One's sweet, you know, one's hot, and the camphor then is a cooling aspect. So it becomes very tasty, right? Similarly, when permanent ecstasy mixes with other ecstatic symptoms, it becomes unprecedentedly tasty. There are two kinds of particular ecstasies, vibhava. One is called the support, alambana, and the other is called the awakening, udipana. Right? So the support is then, what is your relationship with Krishna? How do you see Krishna? How do you see yourself in that relationship? That becomes the support, the alambana, right? Because how your mood is then connected to Krishna. And then, what is this saying? And the other is called the awakening, the udipana. Right? Then what it is that then triggers that and inspires that. The vibration of Krishna's flute is an example of the awakening. And Lord Krishna himself is an example of the support. The subordinate ecstasies, anubhava, are smiling, dancing, and singing, as well as different manifestations in the body. The natural ecstasies, sattvika, such as being stunned, stumba, are considered among the subordinate ecstasies, anubhava. Like that. They're also considered within anubhava, because the anubhava means then the subordinate ecstasies that come along. Like that. So in that way, then the Anubhavas themselves, the Sattvika Bhavas, and the Vyavichari Bhavas, they can all be counted as Anubhavas because they're subordinate to the Stai Bhava and then the Vibhava, you know, or the support and the awakenings, right? Then those are then subsequent that come that are underneath that then support that, and then, you know, they have their variety and movement. Srila Prabhupada. And the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because that's why sometimes you see that the acharyas just talk about the Vibhava and Anubhava, right? Because all the others are Anubhava, right? Stai Bhava is there, because otherwise if there's no Rati, then where's the question of mixing it with something else? Because that becomes, the Stai Bhava becomes mixed with these other four. That's Rasa. But if there's not something to mix it with, you can't call it a mix. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then 2.1.14, Vibhava is described as follows. Tarata geya vibhavas tu ratya svarana hetavaha. Te dvi dva lambana eke tataivo dipana pare. The cause bringing about the tasting of love of Krishna is called Vibhava. Vibhava is divided into two categories, Alambana, support, and Udipana, awakening. In the Agni Purana, it is stated, Vibhav yate hi rat yadhir yatra yena vibhav yate. Vibhavo nama sa dve dhal Lambanod dipanatmakaha. That which causes love for Krishna to appear is called Vibhava. That has two divisions, a lambana in which love appears and udipana by which love appears. Right? A lambana is in when it appears. It appears in Krishna, right? And for Krishna and the devotees. And by which love appears, that means then those things that then give rise to. So that's why you see we as discussed before, that you have the description of the Krishna as the Vishaya. Those are where your love is, you know, where your love is established. And then that same Krishna, then there are aspects that give rise to that awakening of that love, you know, how that love appears and then manifests and then has all the anubhavas, the sub ecstasies. Does that make sense? You know, it's like Krishna's beauty and his mood and his and all these things. These will be the aspect of him as the Vishaya. Then, you know, the playing of his flute or his smiles or these will be the Udipana. And it's not that the aspects of the Vishaya can't be also Udipana. But the point is it's not that they're just Udipana, because we'll say, oh, no, it's just these things, they get inspired. But the point is Krishna is the shelter of that love, right? So who does that appear in? It appears in this form of Krishna. Does that make sense? So the aspect of Krishna in which that love appears to the cowherd boys that will be slightly different than how it appears to Mother Yashoda or to the servants or to the gopis. Does that make sense? I can't tell. So it's either you froze, I froze, we all froze. No?
No, we can still hear you, Maharaj.
Okay, you can still hear, yeah. Because I'm just seeing that Devarshi either has put a picture there or it's frozen.
Yeah, then that's frozen then.
Aha. Okay, now he disappeared. So he's applying his mystic yoga. First he freezes, then he disappears. Okay, so that means there's of Krishna's wonderful qualities, there's certain ones in which your particular rasa is based, where it takes shelter, right? So then Krishna becomes the devotee is the shelter of that particular attraction for Krishna, but Krishna has a particular set of qualities, you know, in either how he's dealing in his physical form, you know, his emotions, all these different aspects, that's what then attracts the mind of the devotee. And that's where is the object of his affection, right? Then things that Krishna does or says with his body, mind, and words, those become, or his interaction with others, that becomes the impetus for then manifesting that love for Krishna. And then the anubhavas, the sub-ecstasies, then those are a furtherance of that. You know, they follow that. That's why they're anu. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.16, the following is stated about Alambana. Krishnas cha Krishnas, Krishna bhaktas cha budher Alambana mataha, ratyader vishayatvena tata dharat tayapicha. The object of love is Krishna, and container of that love is the devotee of Krishna, right? The object of love is Krishna, and he is the Vishaya, has certain qualities. But the, what did he use here? The container of that love is the devotee. He's the Ashraya. In other words, he's the shelter of that particular, that love for that particular form of Krishna, or that quality, that object as Krishna. Krishna is that particular object. Learned scholars call them Alambana, the foundations. Similarly, Udipan is described as follows, right? So the Alambana is the foundation, because that's where it is. Krishna in this particular mood, and the devotee who then is the shelter or the container for that particular love for that aspect of Krishna, or that form of Krishna, or that manifestation of Krishna. So Krishna is a cowherd boy. Then he becomes the object for the other cowherd boys and their love for him. And so they become the container or the ashraya of that love for Krishna as the object. I mean, it's directed the object of Krishna as the cowherd boy. So that becomes the foundation for their love for Krishna. Right? Then now the Udipan will be described. Udipanas tute prokta. Bhavam udi payanti ye. Te tu Shri Krishna Chandrasya gunas cheshtaf prasadanam. Those things which awaken ecstatic love called Udipana. Mainly, this awakening is made possible by the qualities and activities of Krishna, as well as by his mode of decoration and the way his hair is arranged. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.31. Those things would awaken ecstatic love are called Udipan. Mainly this awakening is made possible by the qualities and activities of Krishna, right? That's what causes it to happen. As well as by, you know, his decoration, how he decorates, his hair is arranged, you know, all these other little things like that. So it's going to be the qualities and activities of Krishna. But that's going to have a basis, that there's a basis of that, which is going to be, we said, the foundation, the Alambana. Then when you act dynamically apply that, that becomes your Udipana. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.302 also gives the following further examples of Udipana. Smitanga Surabhe Vamsa Shuninga Nupura Kambhava Paranka Chaitra Tulasi Bhakta Tad Vasaradhyaha. Krishna's smile, the fragrance of his transcendental body, his flute, bugle, ankle bells, and conch shell, the marks on his feet, his place of residence, his favorite plant, Tulsi, his devotees, and the observance of fasts and vows connected to his devotion, all awaken the symptoms of ecstatic love. So that's why then these things are all dealt with. You see the Lord, You hear about his pastimes, you hear about his place, you do service in that place like that. You worship Tulsi, the devotees, you know, there's Vaishnav Seva, there's observance of fast and vows connected with Krishna, you know, Janmashtami and all the other festivals that are there. All these can awaken symptoms of ecstatic love. So then these are it's a very practical thing. So that's why you see these are worked into our process. Not that, oh, I've risen above that, I don't have to do these things. No, these are just the natural activities of one on that transcendental platform. Yeah. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.2.1. It describes Anubhava as follows. Right now, following that view bhava, then what comes is Anubhava. Anubhavas tu chitta sta bhavanam ava bodhaka ke bahir virikriya prayaf prokta udbhasvara kyaya. The many eternal ecstatic symptoms or bodily transformations which indicate ecstatic emotions in the mind and which are also called udbhasvara are the anubhavas, or subordinate ecstatic expressions of love, right? So the point is there'll be an expression of that love. So these will be the subordinate ones. Some of these symptoms are dancing, falling down and rolling on the ground, singing and crying very loudly, bodily contortions, loud vibrations, yawning, deep breathing, disregard for others, the frothing of saliva, mad laughter, spitting, hiccups, and other similar symptoms. All these symptoms are divided into two divisions, Chitta and Kshepana. Singing and yawning and so on are called Sita. Dancing and bodily contortions are called Kshepana. Right. So one is, you know, you don't have to be specifically physically active, and the other ones, then you are. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following verse from the Vedic literature describing Udbhasvara. Udbhashante sva dham niti prokta udbhasvara budhahi nivyutariya dham mila shram sanam gatra motanam dhrimba grimba kranasya pulatvam nishva dasyas chate mataha. The ecstatic symptoms manifested in the external body of a person in ecstatic love are called ubhasvara by learned scholars. Some of these are a slackening of the belt and a dropping of clothes and hair. Others are bodily contortions, yawning, a trembling of the front portion of the nostrils, heavy breathing, hiccuping, and falling down and rolling on the ground. These are the external manifestations of emotional love, right? So that's the udbhasvara. But we also saw before is that it mentions that they want to perform a particular activity or particular things. So then it will manifest in these physical ways, right? So that's basically what's going on. 2:23:52. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, there are other ingredients beginning with complete despondency, nirveda, and jubilation, harsha. Altogether, there are 33 varieties. And when these combine, the mellow becomes very wonderful. Srila Prabhupada. Nirveda, harsha, and other symptoms are explained in the Madhya Lila 14.167. The transitory elements, vyavichari, are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Ato chante trayas trimshad bhava ye vya vicharinaha visheshena bhimuktyena charanti stayinam prati. Okay, keep going. Vaganga sattva suchyatye yeyaste vya vicharinaha Sanchara yanti bhavasya Gatim sancharino pite. Un maj janti nimaj janti stain yamrita vardidao. Urmi vad vartayan yenam yanti tad rupatam chate. There are 33 transitory elements known as vyavichari, static symptoms. They especially wander about the permanent sentiments as assistants. They are to be known by words, by different symptoms seen in the limbs and in other parts of the body, by the particular conditions of the heart, because they set in motion the progress of the permanent sentiments. They are specifically called sanchari, or impelling principles, right? So vyabhichari means that there's something different coming in, but sanchari means that they're impelling or causing some new direction that is there. So that's why it's known by both of these. These impelling principles rise up and fall back in the permanent sentiments of ecstatic love, like waves in an ocean of ecstasy. Consequently, they are called vyabhichari. Right? So they impel like that, so that's why they're called sanchari. But then they're vyabhichari because, you know, they come and they go. They'll come in like this and then they'll go. That aspect. But that they come in and that they're opposing, and then they'll be the thing, they'll create direction. So it gets these various names. But they're always, it says, wandering about the permanent sentiments as the system. 223, 53 to 55. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. There are five transcendental mellows: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love, which is also known as the mellow of sweetness. Conjugal love excels all the others. The position of neutrality, shanta, increases up to the point where one can appreciate love of Godhead. The mellow of servitorship, dasya, gradually increases the point of spontaneous love, raga, of Godhead. After the mellow of servitorship, there are the mellows of friendship, shakya, and parental love, vatsalya, which increase to subordinate spontaneous love, anuraga. The greatness of love found in friends like Subala extends to the standard of ecstatic love of Godhead, bhava. Srila Prabhupada. Right, so each one will go up to a particular point. So here, see, Shanta is appreciating the love of Godhead. But then you see that these other ones take on the element of spontaneity, where then they want to be appreciated, you know, they go beyond just the aspect of prema. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the mellow of neutrality increases to simple love of Godhead. And the mellow of servitor, love of Godhead, increases beyond that to affection. Counter love, anger based on love, love and attachment. Similarly, the mellow of friendship increases to affection, counter love, love, attachment, and sub-attachment. It is the same with the mellow of parental affection. The special feature of the mellow of friendship exhibited by personalities like Subal is that it increases from fraternal affection to counter love, to spontaneous attachment, to subordinate attachment, and finally to the ecstasy where all the ecstatic symptoms continuously exist. That's right, because, you know, having the friendship there is confidential. So then they take on more of those qualities closer to what Krishna is experiencing, because the discussions then are in connection with the gopis. Right. 2356, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. There are two divisions of each of the five mellows, yoga connection and viyoga separation. Right, so they're known as yoga and viyoga. Right, so we're viraha and sambhog. That's used in the conjugal. The others, it's all used yoga and viyoga. Among the mellows of friendship and parental affection, there are many divisions of connection and separation. Among the mellows of, Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.93, these divisions are described. Ayoga, yoga vetasya, prabhedhau, katitav, ubhau. In the mellow of bhakti yoga, there are two stages, ayoga and yoga. Ayoga, viyoga, is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.94 as follows. Sangha bhavo harir dhirir ayoga iti katyate. Ayoge tan manas katvam tad gunad yanushan daya. Tat prap chyut paya chintadya sarvesham katita kriya. Learned scholars in the science of bhakti yoga say that when there is an absence of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, separation takes place. In the stage of ayoga, separation, the mind is filled with Krishna consciousness and is fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. In that stage, the devotee searches out the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said that in that stage of separation, all the devotees in the different mellows are always active in thinking of ways to attain Krishna's association. Okay. The word yoga, connection, is thus described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 3.2.129. Right, so when they have that separation, they're always looking ways to attain his association. You know, that's the whole point of the Viyoga. They're always looking how to be again connected with Krishna. The word yoga, connection, is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.129. Krishnena sangamo yastu sayoga iti kirtyate. When one meets Krishna directly, that is called yoga. In the transcendental mellows of neutrality and servitorship, there are similar divisions of yoga and viyoga, but they are not variegated. The divisions of yoga and viyoga are always existing in the five mellows. However, in the transcendental mellows of friendship and parental affection, there are many varieties of yoga and viyoga. The varieties of yoga are thus described. So the other one means the first two, then there's just you're either with or not. Right? So the moods don't have a variety. But then you see with the friendship and the parental, then there are varieties of them. So the varieties of yoga are described. Yogopi katita siddhis tushti shtitir iti trida. Yoga connection is of three types: success, satisfaction, and permanence. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.129. Right, so that you attained, you're satisfied, that feeling of permanence, these different other different moods that are there. The divisions of ayoga separation are described as follows. Utkantitam, yes.
Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Maharaj, how do we answer this question? We get in preaching that are there anyone who have realized these symptoms and put their realizations in some book in bhakti line? So this is a question we get in preaching. How do we answer this?
It's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's what's being quoted here, right? So Prabhupada, that's what he's quoting from here. And then Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's where Lord Chaitanya is describing it first to Sanatana Goswami. And then Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami define these in their works. And then other acharyas, then they also write these things.
Their question is, any personality in our line who has realized these symptoms and put in book or his realizations?
Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. That's coming this way. If you want to go back that way, then you have Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, like this. So are we good, or what are they looking for?
Yes, Maharaj. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Because the point is they want to know, has anybody done that? That's the whole point of Purana. Purana is about the principle that you have the stories of great personalities who they themselves have come to these ecstatic platforms, how they have been able to come to those positions of being able to appreciate that ecstatic love, and they've realized that. So then we are able to gain their understanding experience by what is written in, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the books of the Acharyas, and all that. You know, I mean, if they want something cheap and all that, then why come to us? You know what I'm saying? You don't walk into, you know, a Rolex shop and say, do you have anything for 20 rupees? You know, like that. We're dealing in the topmost platform of stuff. What's there? Lord Chaitanya mentions it's never been given before. So that is what's being offered by our line. And so that's what we're trying to do. The Srimad Bhagavatam is showing so many personalities who have come to this platform. You know, like that. Bhagavad Gita is the discussion of how Arjuna comes to understand the position of pure devotional service. You know, so there's plenty of literature. They just have to, you know, open their eyes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes?
Yes.
Good?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Ayoga has two divisions, longing and separation. Are they feeling the separation and then when they're longing for? So you'll have these two flavors within the yoga or ayoga, right, when they're not together with the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, only in the conjugal mellow are there two ecstatic symptoms called rudha, advanced, and adhirudha, highly advanced. The advanced ecstasies are found among the queens of Dwarka, and the highly advanced ecstasies are found among the gopis. Srila Prabhupada, the adhirudha ecstasies are explained in Ujjwala Nilamani, Stai Bhava Prakarana 170. Rudho te bhyo nu bhave bhyaha kam apyapta vishishtatam yatranu bhava drishante so dhirudho nigadyate. The very sweet attraction of conjugal love increases through infection. Counter love, attachment, sub-attachment, ecstasy, and highly advanced ecstasy, Mahabhav. The platform Mahabhav includes Rudha and Adhirudha. These platforms are possible only in conjugal love. Advanced ecstasy is found in Dwarka, whereas highly advanced ecstasy is found among the gopis. Right. So you're going to have these different platforms that are there. So the queens will get up to Rudha, which means advanced. But then the gopis will get to highly advanced. Right? And then Lord Chaitanya is going to keep going, right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Highly advanced ecstasy, Adhirudha Mahabhav, is divided into two categories, Madana and Mohana. Meeting together is called Madana, and separation is called Mohana. On the Madana platform, there are kissing and many other symptoms, which are unlimited. In the Mohana stage, there are two divisions, Udgurna, unsteadiness, and Chittarjalpa, varieties of mad emotional talks. Srila Prabhupada. For further information, see Madhyalila 187. Udriti, Madhyalila 187, verse and purport. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. This unmada, unsteadiness, is not ordinary madness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked inconsistently, almost like a crazy fellow, he was in the transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest transcendental ecstasy, there's a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohana, or bewilderment, occurs. When so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. And at that time, all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifested. When they are manifested, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is imaginative discourse, and one experiences emotions like those of madmen. The madness of Srimati Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, "My dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus she has become like a crazy woman." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Mad emotional talks include 10 divisions, called Prajalpa and other names. An example of this is the 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani called the Song to the Bumblebee. Imaginative mad talks, known as Chitrajalpa, can be divided into 10 categories: Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Udjalpa, Sanjalpa, Abhijalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. There are no English equivalents for these different features of Jalpa, imaginative talk. Udriti, Ujjvalanilamani 4, 14, 81, 82, 184, 186, 188, 190, 192, 194, 196, 198, and 200. Ajalpa is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover and with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Parijalpa is that speech which, through various devices, shows one's own cleverness by exposing the mercilessness, duplicity, unreliability, and so on of one's lord. According to learned authorities, Vijalpa is sarcastic speech that is addressed to the killer of Aga and that openly expresses jealousy, while at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. The declaration of Lord Hari's duplicitous nature in a mood of spite, born of pride, together with jealousy, spoken insults directly against them, has been termed Ujjalpa by the wise. The learned describe Sanjalpa as that speech which decries with deep irony and insulting gestures the beloved's ungratefulness and so on. Saintly persons have concluded that when a lover, impelled by jealousy and fear, declares that Lord Hari is unworthy of her attachment because of his harshness, lustiness, and dishonesty, such speech is called Abhijalpa. When a lover indirectly states with remorse that her beloved is fit to be given up, such speech uttered like the plaintive crying like a bird is called Abhijalpa. A statement spoken in disguise, describing how the male lover is deceitful and brings one misery, and also implying that he gives happiness to others, is known as Ajalpa. When the lover humbly states that although she is unworthy of attaining her beloved, she cannot give up hoping for a conjugal relationship with him, such words spoken with respect for the beloved's message are called Pratijalpa. When, out of honest sincerity, a lover questions Sri Krishna, Sri Hari, with gravity, humility, unsteadiness, and eagerness, such speech is known as Sujalpa. So in other words, out of our league. Right. So these are all the various things. So those different prayers that Srimati Radharani, right? The 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani then give example of these 10 kinds of that. That's the whole mood. But we see it's all done out of affection. So there is no other element to it. So the point is, the affection is the main, and it has these other things as the medium through which they're expressed. It's not that one, you know, tries to be, you know, how you say, angry or jealous or this or that, and that's the main thing. No, that's another. These are other aspects. This is then within that, the moods that just keep moving within the out of affection. That's then what is being discussed here. So that's why then they're in, you know, many times these are just referred to, because even they're brought in, even you define them, unless one sees them properly, because it mentions that the stage of Mahabhava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that stage of Mahabhava then also comes down with the devotees and is manifested in Gokul, and then we hear about those pastimes. And that those pastimes can easily be taken as mundane. So as soon as we take these aspects as mundane, oh, why are they doing that? But aren't they supposed to have this for Krishna and that? That's the point when you close the book and walk away. That's why then these things aren't discussed, because these can so easily be taken as mundane. Other aspects, we tend to keep them on the transcendental. The cowherd boys, his transcendental mother showed his transcendental, you know, the gopis with Krishna and this and that, the rasa. Now, okay, that's okay. The maharas, we see that. But when it gets into this stuff, that's where then, if we're not careful, then it takes a mundane dive. So that's why these things, the details in that, aren't brought out very much. It's just brought out to show that it's there and what is the wide range and variety. But to get into the details of that, then, because it mentions the wise. Wise means those who are realized. Wise doesn't mean somebody who's smart like that. So we can appreciate from here the depth of the love that the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani, has for Krishna. That's then the point to be gained here. That is something very, very special. Okay. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.